This morning, God's word comes to us from Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3, we'll be reading just the first 15 verses of this chapter. Exodus 3, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's word. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, last week we began our reflections upon the coming of Christ with the theme of Emmanuel, God with us. And we talked last week about the sign of Emmanuel, that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and it would be called Emmanuel, God with us. We saw that God with us is both a blessing and a curse. A blessing for his people, but judgment upon those who will not recognize Jesus Christ as God with us. This morning we go farther back in the history of God's people to talk again about Emmanuel, this time about the presence of God with his people. We come to Exodus, and at this time, the people of Israel are in captivity. They had gone down to Egypt, they had grown, and the Egyptians began to oppress them. And it would be easy for them to ask the question, is God still with us? Is it truly the case? We've been in captivity for so many years. Is God still dwelling with his people? God is going to bring assurance to them, reminder to them that he is with his people yet, his presence for them then, and his presence as a blessing for us today. We read that Moses is keeping the flocks, and verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Moses is tending his flocks in the wilderness, sees this sight. And God, through this sight, is going to reveal his presence to Moses. As Moses approaches the bush that is burning but not consumed, we read in verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out to him of the bush, Moses, Moses, he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet. For the place where you are standing is holy ground. Moses begins to approach the presence of God. And God calls out to him, do not come near. It is for Moses' sake that God says, stay back. To approach the presence of the holiness of God requires a particular reverence in approaching him. And so God says, do not come near, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And I have to confess, that always seems somewhat backwards to me. If the ground was holy, wouldn't it be proper to have some sort of barrier, his sandals, between Moses and the holy ground? What is going on here that God says, take your sandals off because where you're standing is holy ground? We have to remember the historical context. What is going on? Moses is tending the sheep in the wilderness. Israel was a dusty land. This is a dusty land of the wilderness where he is at. And that dust would get on their feet and on their sandals, so the sandals would become dirty. And what God is saying is, before you approach me, that dirt, that filth, that defilement needs to be removed. Take those dirty sandals off because you are coming to holy ground. The need for cleansing and removing of the defilement. God reveals his presence to Moses, and Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look at God, for God's holiness was beyond him. Approaching a holy God takes a particular reverence. And we remind ourselves of that this morning. We began our service by singing, God himself is with us. The holy God calls us into his presence. Worship is not, first of all, a horizontal activity between all of us. Worship is a vertical activity between us and God. And to be called into the presence of that holy God, there is a certain reverence that is required, recognizing his holiness. When we begin our worship services, I speak about being in the presence of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I remember growing up, the call to worship we often heard was from Habakkuk chapter 2. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. There must be a sense of reverence of awe as we approach our God in worship, recognizing our own sin and defilement. We have that portion of our worship service called the service of reconciliation, where we acknowledge our sin, where we confess our sin. And when we are reminded of what God has done for us in His Son, Jesus Christ, that comes at the beginning of our worship. Because when we come into God's presence, we are standing on holy ground. God, as it were, calls us to take off those defiled shoes, to recognize our sin and our need for a Savior, because we are entering into the presence of a holy God. God in His presence, in the midst of His people. In verse 7, then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. God is going to reveal Himself to Moses and tell Moses of His purpose to redeem His people. He says, I have heard their cry. And what does God say? I have now come down that I might deliver them. Those words of God coming down echo what we read earlier in the books of Moses. God, when He speaks of coming down, is to vindicate His people and bring judgment on His enemies. In the Tower of Babel incident, we read of God coming down and judging the nations. In Sodom and Gomorrah, we read God comes down to bring judgment upon His enemies. And here again, I have seen the affliction of my people, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them. God's redemptive purpose in His presence coming down. And what a beautiful picture, what a beautiful pointer to what God would do in the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. God Himself, the second person of the Trinity, would come down. He would come down and dwell among sinful men and women. He would come down for a particular purpose, to redeem a people for His very own, to give them peace with God. We sing in O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, that He will ransom, He will redeem captive Israel. That is what we celebrate at Christmas time. God Himself, His presence, came down to redeem, to release His people. And that is the call of the gospel today. To put your faith and your hope in that Jesus Christ, the one who came down to release you from your sin, to release you from your bondage, to release you from a captivity. Why would we remain captive when we have a Savior, a Lord who releases us? Oh, put your faith, your trust, your hope in Him, and know the peace which He gives, the presence of God which came down. He says, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. I not only will deliver them, I will bless them. I will bring them to a good land of freedom, a land of blessing, a land where they are free to serve me and to live for me. Now, for Israel, that was the land of Canaan. That was the land flowing with milk and honey. What about when Jesus Christ comes down? What land does he claim? What land does he lead his people into? It is not a narrow strip of land back in the Middle East. But again, as we read earlier today from Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and all who dwell therein. For us, that good land God gives is all of creation. All of creation in which he calls us to serve the King wherever he has placed us. Not only in the church, but in our homes. To recognize this is the good land into which God has brought us. And then to conform our marriages and our family life to God's standards. In our education, to learn about the glories of the world God has created, the place in which we live, in light of his holy word. In our labors, in our vocations, to do our work as unto the Lord. He has come down to bless us with a land. And in particular, for the people of Israel, they would be given the land of Canaan, but in particular, they would have Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the place where God said, "My name will dwell here." For us, as God's people. Yes, we know that all of our lives is lived before his face, but in particular, God has given us the church, the place where his name dwells. And that is why we make such a big deal about church membership. And we make a big deal about welcoming new members, because this is the place in particular where God's name dwells, to be in his presence, brought near unto him. And we know that even this earth God has given to us is a shadow of something greater. Revelation speaks about the new heavens and the new earth coming down from heaven. We have even more blessing awaiting us, a greater reality. When Christ comes once again, his presence once again comes down, and the new heavens and the new earth, we now dwell with him forever. The blessing of being redeemed by the one who came down. Then God gives Moses a commission and a promise. Verse 10, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." God has just said, "I have come down. I will deliver them. Now you go." God says, "I will do my work. I will do what I have promised. But I will use you to accomplish that work." Moses said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He says, "I will be with you. My presence. I will be with you." We think of Jesus in the Great Commission. We read about this morning. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now you go and make disciples of all the nations. I will accomplish my work through you." And that same challenge and that same encouragement is given to the church today. Yes, Christ will build his church, but he will use us to do it. I often say that at Christmas time, it is a time that is handmade
for sharing the gospel. Even the world recognizes something is going on. Something is special about this time of year. And we have the great joy and the great privilege of telling him the truth of what that is. God himself came down. His presence in the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem a fallen mankind for him. Lost my glasses. Guess we'll have to go with just these. And how often don't we, thank you, Brother Aaron, don't we respond so much like Moses does? Thank you, my brother. We respond so much like Moses. Who am I that I should go and speak? Who am I that I should open my mouth? And yet God says, I will be with you. We have the great privilege, we have the great responsibility of telling the truth of the season. And to encourage Moses, God gives him a sign. Verse 12, I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that I've sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain. Now think about that. God says, I'm sending you to deliver my people, and this is the sign that when you've done that, then you will come here and worship on this mountain. I think if I were Moses, I would have said, couldn't there be something more immediate? Couldn't you give me something now that I can see to know I'm supposed to do this? No, God says, go and do it. And once you have completed the work, then you will see the sign and know that I was with you. We go first by faith in God's promise, and then later we see by sight. So often we say, Lord, give me a sign now that I'm supposed to do this, but God simply says, you have my word, you have my promise, that my word will not return void. Go and share that word. I will be with you. And then when you see those people in our sphere of influence who we talk to, who we witness to, we see God working in their lives and by his Spirit bringing them to himself, we say, Lord God, yes, it was you. I see it now. But we go first. And then later, we see the reality, the presence of God in the life of each and every one of his home. Yes, God would bring them back to this mountain where he would give them his law, more of God's presence with his people to instruct them, to teach them, to lead them, to guide them. God himself giving them his word that they might live before him. We celebrate the presence of God at Christmas time, that God himself came down. He came down to redeem a people for his very own. He brings us into a good land, a blessed land. And he says, now share this truth with those around you. Oh, might this be the Advent season. Might this be the Christmas time, where we don't echo Moses, who am I that I should do this? But rather we trust the word of the Lord, we go, we share the truth, and see him working his glorious work of salvation, his presence in the life of his people. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you, we praise you for your word. We thank you for the fact that you yourself have come down in your Son, Jesus Christ. May we rejoice in that truth, oh God. We love that truth. We love to hear that truth. We love to sing that truth. Lord God, give us a great love to share that truth with those around us. Open our mouths to speak your praise. And to you, O God, will belong all the honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.